Who wants to nail their niche? Who does not want to nail their niche? Your work here is done. You should go to another room. All right. Oh, wait, I went one too many. So let's just really talk about kind of the, I guess I got that. Okay. Why are we having a conversation about niches? Because Michael said so. That's right. Lyle. Niche practices grow faster. Actually, I've done the research because while I like Michael, I love data, I trust but verify. And the data says across all professional service firms, niches grow 2 to 3 times faster. It's that gravity thing that we talk about. When you're like, I help people retire, they're like, cool, I'm a people, I might be retiring. When you're like, I help hairdressers who own salons or optometrists who own practices or, right, widows who are facing retirement on their own, like, oh, there's an element of I see you, I hear you, and I understand you. That's really hard to communicate on, right, in marketing talk. And so it's about how we orient everything to that individual so that they feel like we utterly see them, hear them, and understand them.
Yeah, so niching is about 3 things, specialization, advice, and experience. The Kitsis is really about casting. I don't know if you guys have heard the Kitsis story, but when you cast a net, if you cast a very wide net, it just stretches and stretches and the fish can swim right through it. But if you work on really narrowing that net, it's tighter and you just put it where the fish are. And what are you going to do? You're going to catch those fish. And just like a bear, as you see it, they go right in upstream. Right where the salmon are, they just take them right on out. Being from Vancouver, I get to see that. And it's amazing. It's just like, this is where I get fed. Here we go. And that is what niching is all about. It's not about mass market volume. It's about specialized service. It's about getting clear on who you're serving, where they're at, and then being right there.
We like to call that shooting fish in a barrel. When you are really specifically clear. So Michael and I talk a lot about this. I did a social post last year because he was asking me about it. We're going to define niches a little bit differently, right? So when we think niche, we kind of think generalized category. Retirees are not a niche. They're half the population. Women are not a niche. They're half the population. Now, they're a niche in that you're focusing. So I'm going to refer to that a little bit more realistically as a general audience. And you can still see and hear, right, and understand a general audience. But what happens when I start to narrow from a general audience to, right, a focused niche? Now it's not optometrists, retirees. Now it's optometrists with a 7-figure practice. And then what if I narrow it further, optometrists within 5 years of retiring, right? Or optometrists who are selling their firm to a PE firm, which is where Adam ultimately got, like, really narrow. I want you to imagine a tomato and trying to cut it. We've had this conversation. How many of you have ever tried to cut a tomato with a dull knife? How does that go? Messy and mucky. I mean, you get the job done, right? Doesn't that kind of explain a lot of what we do in the sales process? Like, if you give me a lot of time and a lot of information, I will get the job done. I will communicate my value. But what if your marketing and your messaging was like that super sharp, like Ginsu knife, where it just and you were like, hey, I'm Brian. Here's who I am. Here's what I do. This is the value we add. Would you like some? And they're like, yes or no. And either is an okay answer. Because you're so clear that you're Ginsu. Now, what's it feel like when you cut a tomato with a sharp knife? Honestly, go back to the last time you did that. You feel like, is it just me? I'm always like, yeah.
It is really satisfying.
It's satisfying because I have every other experience in my head. I'm like, this is how it's supposed to go. It's amazing. It's awesome. That's how your prospecting and your pipeline is supposed to be. It is not supposed to be all of the heavy lifting. It's heavy lifting because you don't have the confidence to choose. Or if you don't want to choose, which is totally okay, what you're not really dealing with is the complexity of having multiple types of clients, which means all that service model and system stuff, you're going to need to like 10x double down on. If you get a niche and you double down on that, awesome sauce. Like, that's what we're constantly talking about. You only have 100 seats on the bus. Maybe it's 50. Michael likes to say 50. And I'm like, yeah, 50 feels a little light for most people. Maybe it's 100 for some of you. It might be 150. It might be 200, depending on the scale and the model of your practice. But equal opportunity over here, right? Too skinny, too fat, too whatever. How do we get Goldilocks picky? Do you remember Goldilocks? Not this one. Not this one. Not this one. Ooh, this one's just right. You want what we call just right clients. You do your best work with them. They value you. You value them. They're happy. They're motivated. They're willing to pay. And you have a value proposition that they are more than willing and happy to receive. Like if you can get there, really good stuff starts to happen.
Like the multiplier effect.
Oh, and Tiff knows about the multiplier effect.
This is everything. I do it also with COIs, right? But when we start to niche, it's instead of if I have a retiree and then my entrepreneur and then my woman dealing with the loss of a spouse and my independent woman or those that are double income, no kids, are they crossing paths where they're naturally thinking of us as a firm, right? Are they in those moments where they're like, hey, just came from Destiny Capital or Entrepreneur Aligned and it was just magical? No, it has to spark something. But if you start niching and specializing, so when we're working with our operating entrepreneurs and we're in that community that they go to talk about that business, and then we're serving them. And then, oh, by the way, their other personal board of advisors like CPAs and their corporate attorneys and all of that are also serving them. It's magical when you don't even have to be there and they're talking about your value. It multiplies because you're there and present with more clients. So it's community that exists from what you create, and also community that exists where you're not a part, you're just a part of it, but you're not in it, right? Like they're talking about you when you're not there.
When you focus on a target client, they continue the conversations without you, mm-hmm. is what Tiffany's saying.
And that's when that momentum happens.
You know, Don Hilario, who's one of our alumni, he's been here for a number of years, right? He started really focusing on Google, and then it really turned out to be women in Google. And oh my God, what do women in Google do? They talk about being a woman at Google. They talk about being women in the tech space. They talk about their tech careers. They talk about, you know, just regular.
They have groups in Google.
They have
for
groups
women.
In Google for women in Google. And do you know what they all do? They talk about how Don is their guy. Don's my guy. Don is great. Don's my guy. And do you know how much marketing Don has to do?
Don makes me want to work at Google. I want him to be my guy.
Don likes so like, good. I'm just going to go hang out at the cafeteria at Google. I have lunch with a few of my clients. Their friends walk by. He's like, it's golden. It's like candy. Now, we don't all have Google, right? You're not necessarily walking it, but like it just really shows you the power of if you know your niche and you start to look at where they go, what they do, what they read, who they hang out with, your ability to insert yourself in their life in a credible way is awesome. We just have to get intentional. So all that energy we spend on all the wheels and all the plates trying to get anybody with a, you know, with a bank account and a check to become a client, we get to refocus all of that energy on one kind of human, the ideal client avatar, your niche. And we get to say, we know Adam knows more about optometrist business than optometrists know about their business. I know more about, like, every time we do a top producer conference, they're like, oh, you know more about our business than we do. And I'm like, yeah, I've been doing this for 30 years. I should. Literally. That's because we chose a space to really know inside out, top, bottom, left, and right. And when you sit in that space, it's a really powerful marketing because it does the work for you.
Yeah. And as generalists, it's a really broad knowledge base. I was just talking to Jennifer last night and we were talking about, like, I don't know about any of you, but when you're serving a general public, it's like you're making up the client service model while you're in that prospect process, because you're like, ooh, I want to help you, but like I help everyone. So now I'm creating this entire customized client service model and I'm making all of these promises and we're just going to deliver on that. Right? Because I serve everybody and all people, and I'm not clear enough. So I'm creating this client service model. So when we started Limitless, it was like, remember the question on how many client service models do you truly have? And it was like, I think each one of my clients has their own. And every new person that comes in is getting their own, and it just doesn't scale. And it didn't work to living our best life. And it didn't work to taking that time off, right? And it required a really broad knowledge base. How often were we truly going to become an expert in something that we weren't experts in? Because we were solving retirees, business owner, divorce, widow, just every aspect of it. And now as we're focused in on operating entrepreneurs who are ready to maximize their life and have an integrated system between their business and personal wealth, it's really started to help us. And then we're like, but who are those people who are looking to maximize their life? Like, what communities are they existing in? They're typically going and get coaching, right? And they're a part of these membership communities. Maybe it's EO, maybe it's YPO, maybe it's Vistage, maybe it's, you know, another entrepreneur community out there. We're really starting to pay attention. And now it's like, what's that expertise in there? But we're seeing business continuity and exit come up a lot, right? We're talking through those types of things. Do I need business continuity and exit planning for retirees, for women dealing with the loss of a spouse, for divorcees? No, but that is a lot when we were doing general marketing and helping all people.
And what it really boils down to is when you can deliver more deep, more specialized value, do you know what you get? You get more paid. Go back to that. You guys, this is a quiet room here in New Orleans. When you deliver deeper, more specialized value, guess what you get? You get more paid. Doctors, for example, generalists make X, specialists make 5.7X. And this is where, like, I don't go to the neurosurgeon for a knee problem. I don't go to the knee surgeon for an elbow problem. Well, I might because it's an orthopedist, but. So the point there is, like, I'm 50 now. I have to, like, I'm in this world. I don't yet have an orthopedist. So like, that's when we'll know things have changed when I get my first orthopedist. How do we get to that place where our value is so clear, so concise in terms of our ability to communicate it and so compelling to the audience that the right people simply can't not work with us? But the right people simply look at that fee and say, of course, that's something that I'm just gonna not even think about because the value and the partnership that you're offering to me, your ability to see, hear, and understand all of my needs in one place is so compelling, I've gotta say yes if I'm the right kind of client. That's the value proposition that you're trying to create. How do I create a case so strong that I know everything about you? I know stuff about your situation that you don't even know. So how do you get to client evolves, right? So this is an example of how you might, in this case, right, layer in that marketing in this example to architects, right? You've got your website, you join the Architects International Association. Hey, maybe you're gonna write two pieces on retiring. You're gonna attend chapter meetings. You're gonna create a presentation. So what we want you to think about as you build out your marketing plans, and this is all built into the one-page marketing plan, is who are the clients, what are the tranches, and how are you gonna approach that on a quarterly basis? So we start to think now, how does your marketing shift through the lens of a niche? If you lay out inbound marketing, referral networking, right, credibility, building awareness and thought leadership, which is what most of you are doing most of the time. Now we can simplify it and structure it. And when we can break that down, now we've got something we can be consistent around. And what we know is when we consistently market to niches, what happens? All right, guys, you're gonna really have to pick it up here. When we consistently market to niches, what happens? Yes, awesome sauce. We grow. And is anyone here really bored with the idea of growing? No. No. So that's the power of a niche. How do we sit in this place where we can turn that concept into a plan? Hey, we've got to look at these little factors. Marketing and service become more precise when you niche. Adam literally changed the title of his podcast from White Coats, which was everybody with a white coat. The problem is podiatrist issues versus optometrist issues aren't exactly the same, right? So Tiff and Jared's there, right? In our world, we call you freedom fighters, retirement advice for independent women. Do you look at this and are you either, here's the goal. I want someone to be wildly attracted. I know this is gonna break your heart, but I want you to get okay with it. Or wildly repelled. Not like, ooh, you smell like garlic, I hate you. But just like, I am clearly not an independent woman. I have a husband and two kids that hang out everywhere I go. Don't get to do that yet. Just kidding. Haha, I love them mostly. Hey, freedom fighters. So I was like, if I saw that ad, I don't even know. I'd be like, I just have to read it. Even if I wasn't an entrepreneur, it's just my nature. Right, so it's an emotional appeal, but I'm like, hey, as an entrepreneur, don't you feel like you're always like you're trying to fight the good fight to do great work and be free?
Doesn't coming captive to your own creation be something you don't want?
So that's what you really want to get to is as you get clearer, your ability to message to the needs, the wants, the feelings, the pain points that cause people to act, show up.
And niching can happen a few ways. You can just go for it in the hyper-specialized, or it can be a journey. So, and you can see this through a general niche, retirees, planning for in retirement. It's a start, right? But as we said, it's 50% of the population. So you're still really competing with a lot of other advisors that also specialize in retirement. Then you can narrow that a little bit. Optometrists within 5 years of retirement is where, I believe that's where Adam started.
Mm-hmm.
White coats is actually where he started.
White coats, then optometrists, and then it was seven figure practices.
And then within 5 years of selling their firms, and now within 5 years of selling the firms to private.
I want to point out that all happened within the span of about 2 years, by the way. So I want, like your brain does this thing where it's like, I have to pick the perfect niche. I have to pick it right now. And then I'm stuck with it forever. And so you're like, remember, do you guys remember Double Dutch? Am I the only one old enough to have played? Adam, come on.
I'm with you.
Double Dutch, remember? Just saying, man. Remember? And what happens when you go to the Double Dutch where you're like,
when do you go in?
Oh, dang. You're timing it. Don't do that. Don't play a game of Double Dutch. You're in or you're out. And that is the scary conviction part. It's terrifying. Adam is working on a brand that I'm super in love with. His clients are in the entertainment industry. So we were like, red carpet retirement. Think about it. Does it say we're in the same space? I get you. Like, entertainment industry is wildly different than anything else. Reality doesn't even exist there. But now he has placed an entry point to say, like, I get permission to open the door and have the conversation because they get you in a way that schmucky guy down the street doesn't get you because he's just like, wah, 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 let me sell you some stuff. That's how it sounds. Don't be Charlie Brown's mom. What did she sound like? Wah, 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 wah. Don't do that. You can get clients that way, but it's so much harder than if you're like, I stand loud and proud and I support these people. And if you are one of those people and you have these needs, you should really call me. And if you're not, that's okay too. That's the unapologetic part. My clicker's like, here we go. Is that when you or me? Oh, it's me. So we were just talking about what we tell ourselves gets in the way. I can't. It's some version of a can. I don't want to. I don't know how. I'm worried. How many of you are worried that if you pick a niche, you're going to exclude people?
That's where I started.
Yes, you are going to exclude people. Thank freaking God. That is the point of a niche, to exclude people. Job well done. That fear is your fuel. Because you're excluding people that you can't do your best work with, that can't be as additive to your value prop as you can be there to theirs.
And you're getting in front of the people who are waiting for you.
There are people waiting for you. Some of you are so excited to be here in this room, and I love every ounce of it. I'm not going to try and convince someone who doesn't want to be in this room to be in this room. They're not ready for me. And when they are, they'll come. So that's our job. Like, what do we think it means? It means that my clients are going to leave me. I'm going to run out of money and I'll die because the tiger's going to eat me. Has any tiger eaten you lately? No. Like, they feel so real, but they're just not. And what it really means at some level is I'm not enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not going to be able to make enough money. I'm going to support my family. I'm not going to be able to do it. And it's going to suck. Is it true? So I know that this is a very real conversation that you have within yourself, but there is not an ounce of research or anecdotal evidence that says it's a bad move. Your brain will say things like, I'll get bored. People are like, oh, Steph, I love this. They're like, hey, yeah, it's so great. You're so smart. I totally know. I know. I get all that. They're like, I'm going to get bored. My brain is so big and I'm so cool and I'm so smart. And if this is you, don't take it personally. But literally every year someone's like, I just can't get bored. And I was like, well, what if you just had other things to do with your time? Like, what if you could go into work, do great work, get in, get out, and then go to things that weren't boring? What if you could up the level of client that you were working with in terms of complexity so that it wasn't boring? I was like, don't take this personally, but I'm just too cool. I don't want to be bored is an excuse that your brain is feeding you. Have you ever met 50 clients who are the same? Adam never comes up to me and goes, Steph, I'm just dealing with all these optometrists. I'm so bored. Because the people he's dealing with are what? Complicated. They're selling their multi-million dollar firms to PE firms. And I promise you in 5 years, he's going to be bored because that's going to be easy. Our job is to continually up-level ourselves and up-level our clients to keep up.
Well, and it's quite opposite. You get inspired because yeah. you start learning how you could even dive deeper. And now you're thinking about it at scale. Yeah. How do I take this into a place that maybe it creates this type of opportunity versus this? So the six niche strategies, affinity, values, education, experiential, technical, and
psychosocial.
Yeah. Sorry.
I love that
one. I was trying to read that. And so these are really great areas to start and think about, like, where do you want to start niching? Quite frankly, you may see a couple of these come into play as you're narrowing down. For instance, affinity is about developing relationships based on a common social circle, business development at a yacht club, local chamber of commerce. Values, we're seeing faith-based, right? Like, we're definitely Limitless. I think we've seen several of these now where it's like, that's something that I always felt like I needed to compartmentalize, but I truly want to bring that into my practice and build that into the experience.
Yeah.
Or value system, social responsible investing or ESG. Those are good examples of it. And then technical, we see that as well, like exit planning or getting really technical. You have your tax or CPA within your firm, those types of things.
Yeah, and it won't necessarily just be one of them. So we're mm-hmm. rebuilding Tiffany and Jared's brands, both of them. I'm so excited. I love rebuilding both brands. So great.
Same time.
Yeah, that's a fun project. Two different firms, by the way. So interesting. So, but the really cool thing is what we're trying to do is they have a very defined niche in each of those brands, right? Retirees. You know, operating entrepreneurs, but it's really embedding the psychosocial piece into their brand, right? So think about like that freedom fighter concept that like you want more, like it's basically the limitless concept in the entrepreneurial world. That's not every entrepreneur, is it? So that's not about whether you have $5 million or $25 million. Do you want to live a bigger, bolder, better life? Are you all about adventure and maximizing your life? And do you want to be there for your family? Is entirely different than that money-grubbing individual that's working 70 hours a week just trying to make more money. That's not the client they want. So the idea is all of your core profile is typically your ideal client avatar is going to be, right, economics, niche, et cetera. But I really want you to think about that psychosocial profile. To Tiffany's point, hey, I can bake my faith into my practice. I can bake my background, right? My knowledge of this crazy entertainment industry into this space. And when we do that, we get to sit in the space. And this is the really cool thing that no one else will tell you, but it's really the sweet spot, being an empathetic expert. The empathy piece is really cool. You know, we love that. I want to love those clients. You guys know I'm all about that. You also actually have to show up and deliver the goods. I could warm and fuzz you all day long, but if you didn't know how to solve your practice problems, you wouldn't come very long. But if you can be an empathetic expert, wow, your economics are not going to be the problem, right? If we build the people, process, and platform to support that, you're going to be wildly successful. So start to think about your niche, not just through, right, the niche professionally or technically or economically. What's that niche? Adam, is there a certain type of entertainer? Are there a certain group of people that are like, wow, I've really figured out Hollywood is a bunch of BS and I'm really looking for a little bit more? Is it like, hey, I'm in that, like, you know, these guys are 40s and they're growing and they're grinding and that's the group I'm in. Like, there's these little tranches that you can really start to nail. And when you do, that's where your writing, your messaging, your communication becomes so focused and so powerful that they cannot help but hear you. And when someone has a need, they will reach out. It's that gravity we talk about.
Yeah, you can start with your clients. This is also here, but you could start with your clients. Yes. And like, this is part of the reason Limitless does flows the way that it does. When you know your why, like, what are you naturally going to be connected to? Look at your clients and where that's at. And then see the opportunities that exist. When we did that, we saw several opportunities. One of my favorite, we decided not to go down this route, but we have a group of independent women that we serve that call themselves the 2, ladies group. And I love it. How often do women take one, like, excitement over the fact that they're 2, women? Do you know what 2, women do versus 1, women, right? they're doing certain brunching, they're taking different experiences together, they're traveling together, they're doing these different things. That could have been a really, really fun brand to go down, not only from empowerment.
I want you to know, I'm just sitting here hearing this for the first time, and I was like, who are those women? Oh, I think I want to hang out
with them. I love them. I mean, just think about
like that was it. Just that's the first time I've ever heard it. And I was like, these are my people.
Think about it. Think about like, what am I doing for education? We're brunching. We're having mimosas and we're brunching. Like we're connecting with travel agents and creating experiences for these ladies. And we're going to continue to empower and encourage them in that, in the wealth that they've created and how they're owning it. Those are really big things. So just like you get connected, you find that and you're like, oh, now I have to choose. You do have to choose, by the way.
Now I want you to think about the data that I opened with this morning about all the things that your clients want from you in every area of their life, in every industry, with every profile, every technical background. Like that is a lot of pressure. And that's why we feel like we end up being very watered down because we feel like we have to serve the masses. Then we get really frustrated because you're not in this room to be watered down. And so the answer is you have to be willing to accept that more isn't better. Better is better. Who are the clients that you can do your best work with? And by the way, it doesn't mean you couldn't pick five other groups. It doesn't have to be like a calling from on high. If it is, great. It has to be something that compels you where you're like, I can add value to this audience in excess of the fees that I charge them and I want them, right? So what's the market need? Where are the existing clients relative to that market need? What are the market need for interest? Where are your clients' shared interests? What's the market need in terms of capacity? Like what's your desire to work with those people? The market need for capacity is everybody can work with anybody. Who do you desire to work with? What kind of shared interests do you want to have? Are they life? Are they personal? Are they technical? Like some of you love geeking out on data with people that love geeking out on data. That's awesome. I'm just not going to be your ideal client because I'm like, I don't want to, like, just give me a pie chart. Tell me it's okay. And let's have the conversation. And there's no right or wrong. It's just getting really clear. If you got to show up every day and have conversations that filled you, that you just left, even when they were hard ones, like God, I added some value today. I feel good about how I showed up and what I did. Who would you be having those conversations with and what would the conversations be? If your clients are everybody, that's really hard to put your arms around. You are constantly moving in a lot of directions, trying to bring all things to all people, and you feel that.
Now you picked your niche. Now you need to really get to know them. Who are they? Where are they at? How are you going to market to them? What are their challenges and pain points? What are their motivators? What inspires them? Every aspect of that. What are their planning and investment needs, right? Again, retirees don't need business continuity. So if you're focusing in on that, those aren't things that you need to continue to build into your practice for that just in case business owner. What keeps them up at night? And those are the things that you're really going to want to start building your story around. Do your homework. Our focus in entrepreneurs have literally been out in the market for 12 years talking to entrepreneurs. What don't they like about working with financial planners? What do they like? What are their current problems? Where are those things shifting? How has that shifted in the last 10 years? And then where are we serving in that? Because it's big. So even entrepreneurs.
Well, and this is where those needs and motivators were rebuilding their brand. And one of the things that comes up, I don't know, what is it, 20 or 30% of the time you said in the brand process, was 20 to 30% of the time their clients talk about how they don't like the fee arrangement with their other advisors. So right in those upper echelons, we're really starting to see this be a very real conversation. So what did we build into the website? When we talk about who's coming to us, what is one of those four or five boxes?
We charge based on the value you bring or the value we bring versus the value you bring. Doesn't that differentiate us alone against other financial advisors where they've said, in conflict of interest because I'm building my wealth through private means and the business is at the core of it. And we're like, that's great. Guess what we did? We built a fee schedule based on a flat fee that is able to do that. And we're able to now communicate really clearly to them that we charge based on the value we bring to you, not the value you bring to us. It's a motivator for them. They've been looking for the advisor that can serve them, that really takes into account how they're building their wealth.
Think about all the things that Julie said. The ability to surface that, the ability to recognize that in the marketplace, going back to that last slide about what's the market trend and then what's the need that you can deliver. For 20 to 30% of the people that are reaching out to them, that like fiduciary, like that, you know, like fee is not going up or down based on what I remember thinking. We went to our advisors like 20 years ago and said, can we just pay you 25 grand a year? Cause I was like, I don't understand how, if I make $1 million more, you get to make 10 grand more. I was like, you guys are amazing. I was like, that's really cool. But on the flip side of that, when the market goes down, you're making less. And I really hate that you're making less when I most need you to be paying attention. Like when the market dips, I don't want you freaking out about your revenue. I want you freaking out about my revenue. And they were like, great. So that was like 20 years ago. We were a little bit ahead of the, but we, like, I've worked in that high net worth and ultra high net worth space. And that trend has been going for a very, very long time. What you're now seeing is it moved downstream to that mid-level entrepreneur who's like, why am I making another $1 million and paying you? And again, I'm not saying it's a bad value proposition if you're not charging that way. But those are the thoughts that run through people's minds in her niche. I know, because I am one of them.
Yeah, I went out for 10 years asking like client or prospect interviews, advisory boards, focus group. And it was like, well, advisors don't want us until all of a sudden we have a liquidity event. Then they're all chomping at the bit. And I'm like, nope, that's not us. We're going to be there for you so that we can actually help you create that exit in a way that you want to the dollars amounts on your terms. And we're going to do that on a flat fee so you feel like you have access to the advice that you haven't been able to get. And that resonates. You know who else that resonates with? All the COIs and all of the other financial planners that are coming to them. I'm like, that's great. You have somebody that you refer to for retirement and investment management. That's totally fine. What about the entrepreneurs you're working with, CPAs? Because that's all you're taking these days. You know, is there an advisor that's really specialized in working with you, you know? And they're like, no. And I just stand out right then and there that just says, we're doing this just a tad bit different. We're giving them access to wealth management that they haven't had before.
And again, that doesn't mean that you have to go do that, but it means when you focus on a specific group, you get to really tune into their needs, their interests, their wants, the trends, what's showing up, and then really start to tailor your messaging and your servicing and your processes to providing that. And then when you get really good at that hyper-specialized, then you systematize it. And then that is where the mojo just kicks in, because now you're going so much deeper than you even think you can in this room right now. You're going to deliver 5 or 10x the value. All these ideas, you're like, oh, we could do this. We could do this. I was out with you guys in Colorado last week and we were like on the board. Like, I'm like, and we have to make all of this part right here has to wait. We got to work on this part right here. But even me, I'm like a little popcorn machine. I'm like, oh my God, it feels amazing. Because as soon as we start to get really clear on the client, it's really easy to draw a circle around them and say, what's every aspect of their life? At what level do I want to show up? For like Tiff and Jared, we built a whole circle. Like they're not going to be fitness coaches. They're not going to go to their client's house and do yoga at 8 a.m. But when that conversation comes up in that first level of circle, they can be like, hey, here's some things we've written about protecting the asset and really maintaining your entrepreneurial energy. Next level, hey, we've got some yoga classes, or Jared's going to do a hike a month with right this men's group. Next level, hey, we've got some trainers that have worked with our clients that we really love. We're going to do retreats if you want a referral. Like, so we're really talking about meeting them where they are. It's not even just the service anymore. It's what, like, we're getting to, like, what level of support we're going to provide across that entire wheel. And it doesn't mean they have to be the experts in everything. It means that they have to know the people who are. That's their job. That's what the data and that's what the evidence says entrepreneurs want. They want a place to go and keep everything simple. You tell me who to call, where to go, what to do. I trust you. So that's
much
the beauty.
Value of, in vetting.
So, and again, whether it's solutions. Retirees or little old ladies or optometrists, you've got to become the go-to guy or gal. And when you do, it's irreplaceable. So how do we get started, right? So we'll talk about the steps. You've got to literally start that process of picking a niche. We're going to go a little bit deeper. So I don't have a niche and I'm not where sure to start. You're going to go do the define your ideal client exercise. We're going to look at the service models. We're going to develop our brand and messaging, and then we're going to focus our marketing plan. If you have a niche and you're like, okay, I need to double down, I'm going to grow this baby, then we're going to move into transitioning non-ideal clients. That might be immediate. That might be over 5 years. That might be never. Might be never. Should ultimately be a transition. And then that, right, you're going to deepen your expertise. Now, this is where we're going to look at that service model and those tiers and be like, wow, what can I really do here? And you're going to build all that. And then layer three is, I have a niche, but should I narrow it? Hey, optometrist sounds like a really great niche, doesn't it? But here's what I'm experiencing in real life with you guys and the big, big firms out there that have hundreds of advisors. You know what? That's not even good enough anymore. There are lots of optometrists. You know, there's like this whole thing called life cycle. And being an optometrist isn't the same all the way through it. It turns out that when I graduate college with $200,000 in debt and maybe a spouse, like I'm in that, like I got to pay off my debt and grind, but can I buy a house? And like, what's that mode? Which is, let's be honest, wildly different than, right? I'm 35 to 40, I'm in a practice or I've started a practice and now I've got kids and a mortgage and I've got to really get that income up, right? So I can pay for everybody and everything, which is entirely different than I'm 65. And the world is throwing 3x multiples at me from the PE because I just like my practice is worth so much and I don't even know what to do with it. Are those the same people with the same issues? No, they just happen to do the same profession. So that's the conversation we're having with Adam. I'm like, okay, well, like, are we serving all three of those? So like we start to think optometrist is really cool. So that's the conversation you're going to have. You're going to pick one of those life cycle tranches or are you going to pick to cover them? And that's where we start to look at different service models, a community model, right? Maybe for those people coming out of college, a level, what we call MVP planning for that first year, and then write your premium prices for the next year. You could be just as wildly as effective if you picked any one of them, by the way. We just have that desire to serve again. So not only do you have the niche, I want you to think about the niche through that lifestyle lens, because that's like a sub niche where you get to get even more specialized. For my little clickers.
And once you know your niche, again, we get into getting really confident in the way that we communicate it, right? It's not, I'm a financial planner and I like to help women. One of my favorite things when I used to go networking, when I felt like I didn't want to talk to somebody was like, I'm a financial planner. They're like, cool, bye. But when we get into a real level of confidence, it's right. Like, hey, we're the traditional wealth management that entrepreneurs have been looking for, where we charge on the value that we bring versus the value that they bring.
Yeah. And you, again, scripts are so valuable here, right? We do our best work with who, right? Your situation requires a different specialty than we offer, right? I wouldn't send you to a knee surgeon for neuro, right? For brain surgery. I wouldn't, right? So these are the conversations that our brains get in the way and they tell us, well, what am I going to say to people? Mm-hmm. And what you're going to say is the truth. You're just going to turn it into a script. Hey, I reckon Record make a great firm that specializes working with clients like you who are earlier in their career and who are dealing with issues like debt and kids and student loans, and they'd be really the best people to help you. Would you like that introduction? Who's going to be like, no, you schmuck, you just referred me to somebody else. You think you can better help me? You and your credibility are so annoying. Has anyone ever had that happen? No, and what's really interesting, because we all worry that that client's going to go and make a bunch of money and we're going to lose them. There's plenty of people in between there and you don't have to worry about it. You know what happens a lot? We get a phone call from someone that they referred because they were like, well, this person has a lot of money and you're really good people. I know that because you didn't take advantage of me. So when you draw a line in the sand that says, here's who I am, here's who I do my best work with, there is a gravity and a confidence that just echoes throughout the universe where people are like, oh, they are all about me. So we want to create those scripts.
Yeah. And there's two approaches. Maybe you have an existing practice in which a majority of those clients are your income engine. And so you're looking for more of that time transition in who you're going to build this niche out for, right? You're balancing two client models and you're moving in, or it's burn the ships. Let's just bring the niche in. I mean, that's what Adam did. Yep. He was like, and white coats are out and
I don't think I have a marker.
And optometrists are in, and that's everything I'm focusing on going forward. Yeah. Us as a practice, we had a 40-year history, and we served. We grew as a generalist firm. Now they were growing with our previous founder and nearing that retirement time frame. But I was really worried about niching. Truly, I was like, cool, like. Our clients, we have some entrepreneurs in there, but what do we do? How do we manage this? Partly the reason we have two brands. There's a lot more to that too, from a marketing perspective, but it doesn't change the fact when I was doing women dealing with the loss of a spouse, and I said, hey, clients, I don't know if you knew this about us, but we're really passionate about serving women that are dealing with the loss of a spouse. We have a really unique way in which we can show up to a very vulnerable time in their life. And if there's anybody in your life who's experiencing that, please just let them know we're here as a resource and let us be the first call.
do you think any retirees was like, you or any clients that were like,
you sales, you schmuck, why would you say that to
yeah,
me?
Yeah, like, you don't serve me? Like, it wasn't that. It was just like, out of everybody in their life, they're now like, oh my gosh, I am thinking about Teresa, right? Like, and I've been wanting to help her. Like, if I get that chance, I'm going to go and have
and
that.
I don't have a marker here, but if I had a marker, what I would draw is a big box right here. And I want you to imagine your current client base as a piece of that box, right? A square within a square. That's what I like to call a container strategy. So you build your MVP service model, right? Your baseline, like, I'm doing good planning. I'm not winning any awards, but I'm doing good, competent planning for my now legacy clients in that container, right? That's your revenue income. You got to keep that going for a while if you're doing a transition, but your focus is on the rest of the box. And then over time, you'll make a decision about whether you, right, transition that legacy container, whether you sell that legacy container, whether you let someone like Adam has for a while, like, just manage that legacy container and it covers their comp and, right, covers 50% of the support that they provide for other clients, right? At some point that will shift, but it works. And so that's what you're really thinking about, is you think about that timed transition. In general, this is not scientific. This is just a lot of experience. It's about a 3-year runway to get that pipeline, what we call the flywheel, moving, so that if you just show up and kind of do whatever, the clients just come, right? And that's the marketing machine that we're ultimately trying to create. So when you define the niche, right, you know, and then you like, you deepen that expertise, and then you get to trust. And after about, I remember my first financial planning conference, I was like 20, I was 20 something. I was really young. And I went to an FPA national conference, which thousands of people, I remember to this day how overwhelming it was, literally. And I knew nobody. And one of my clients, Norm Boone, who's like one of the OGs of financial planning, like, walked me around and introduced me to everybody. And then he took me over to Bob Varis, and Bob Varis was like, you have to go over to Financial Planning Magazine. You should write a column for them. And it was really cool, by the way. That's how cool stuff works. But I'll never forget that Bob was like, it's a 3-year runway. Yeah, I didn't invent that, by the way. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, well, in year one, people are like, cute, whatever, peace, nice stuff, good to see you. They don't know who you are and they don't care. You're just a fly on the wall. Year two, they're like, oh, she's back. Maybe she's got legs. Like, yeah, you're nice, you know, shake your hand, whatever. He's like, but by year three, they're like, oh, she's sticking. And now they're like, ooh, and I swear to you, what happened over 3 years? I was like, wow, went from like working it, like, ooh, I got to show and tell you who I am and you don't know, to like, oh, people know and I've been writing and now the flywheel is going and now people come to me. And I was like, oh, I like this side way better. Way better. That's their way of telling us we're done.
To be fair, we would have nailed this, but we lost the first 10 minutes and we only had 2 slides
That's
left.
That's right. We're okay. Doing really,
we
really
were
good.
On we time and it. We caught up.
We were crushing it. So what's next, right? So it's really, honestly, are you in or are you out on picking a niche? And then can you nuance that niche? That's nailing it. Can you get a little bit narrower, a little bit more specific about the life cycle or the psychosocial? Because the sooner that you do, the sooner that you start to see that growth trajectory kick up. You guys, thank you so much.